Dear brothers and sisters, we are going to continue our message on obedience today, and we will start off with a testimony. Brother Yaguo once shared his early experience as a part of the church building committee that started with 5 members and 0 funds. After a prayer meeting one day, Brother Yaguo was filled with joy as he got back to his office. As he started to pray, he said, "God, thank you for letting us start with nothing so we can fully rely on you." He wasn't thinking about the church building committee at the moment, but as his logical mind started to think, he realized a couple of things. The committee literally started with nothing. All the committee members were young and inexperienced. They do not have an architect, and they don't have wealthy members in the congregation who can contribute to the cause. When these thoughts came to mind, he realized that he had not given thanks to God because of all the above things were negative by nature. However, as he continued to pray, he realized that this is God's good grace that they would fully rely on him to follow him and witness his glorious works. When he shared this testimony with me, I knew that his prayer was not out of his logical mind, but from a spirit of joy that was welling from within. I remember praying one Saturday, "God, if it is your will to build a church, let someone give a church building offering that was greater than ever before. Because we do not have businessmen nor wealthy members in our congregation, up until then, we've only received $120,000 in church building fund, and of which $70,000 was an offering from the church in Los Angeles. In my experience with church building, whether it's in Taiwan or in Los Angeles, it all started off with the widow's 2 cents. Monday morning, I called our treasurer to see if we received anything, but when I found out, I thought God didn't answer my prayer. However, it turned out that I had a voicemail that a young couple had left me on Sunday evening. They said that they currently have stocks valued at $140,000, and when it grows to $200,000, they are going to give it all as a church building offering. I was so touched because I know the couple, and I know they live very conservatively. Even the toys that they buy for their child is from garage sales. They live a frugal life and was saving the funds so that hopefully they can pay off their mortgage so that the wife can either stop working or they can buy a bigger house so that they can host fellowship at their home. Their decision to give the offering meant that the wife would have to continue to work and that they would have to give up the idea of buying a bigger house and continue to pay their monthly mortgage. I believe that as we are building the church, we will see God manifesting his presence among us, and there will be many, many testimonies. And through this church building, he's building up our faith in him. Let's read from Psalms 107, verses 10 to 11. "Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the word of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High." Brothers and sisters, if we have recently been in affliction and in chains, we need to think whether it is because we have rebelled against the word of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. In our last message, we shared about the blessing we may receive through our obedience to him. On the flip side, disobeying God's word will cause us to be prisoners in affliction and chained in irons. There are many Christians who suffer and live unhappy lives because they have violated God's commands in the past, which resulted in their hardships today. In 1 Samuel 15, God instructed Saul to strike down the Amalekites, destroying all they had. However, Saul and the people spared King Agag and the best of the flock. And let's skip forward to read from Esther chapter 3, verse 1. "After these things, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman the Agagite and advanced him and set his throne above all officials who were with him." Haman was a descendant of the family that Saul had spared. And we see in verse 9 that he went to the king and demanded the destruction of all the Jews. When Saul did not obey God's command in 1 Samuel 15, His pity for King Agag at that time resulted in an enemy who later raised up to nearly destroy the Jews in the book of Esther. From the story, we can see that our past disobedience will catch up, and it is enough to destroy us completely. When we sow the seed of disobedience, one day they will be reaped, and we will pay the price for our disobedience. We often believe that if we obey all other commands, missing one or two should not be a big deal. But little did Saul know that because of this matter, his descendants were nearly wiped out by Haman. Fortunately, when the people turned to the Lord and trusted in God, their lives were saved. Brothers and sisters, we are often faced with decisions in our life to follow God's command or disregard them. For example, in 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers." However, a believer dating a non-believer may overlook God's command and justify it by listing out all the good characters of the non-believer, such as, "He or she is so considerate, so obedient. She is so beautiful, so accepting, and they love me very, very much." And the believer will end up ignoring God's word and continue the relationship. Eventually, one day calamity will catch up because disobedience of God's words sows the seeds of disaster. David was covering for his mistake of sleeping with Bathsheba when he called Uriah back. He told Uriah to go home after sending some gifts home with him. Uriah didn't go home, so David got him drunk and wanted to send him home again the next day. Uriah still didn't go home, and David was so determined to cover up his sins and didn't realize that it was God's hands stopping him so that he can repent and confess his sins before God. Since Uriah would not go home, David thought, "I have no choice but to kill him." And sometimes one disobedience will lead to successive disobedient behaviors. There are going to be times where God stirs up resistance in situations to let us know that He is not pleased with us. He wants us to turn from our sins, confess, and repent quickly so that we will not continue to sin. David couldn't see the hands of God in this matter and continue to sin by killing Uriah. As we continue to read the story of David, he had four sons that were killed, and one of them, Absalom, led a rebellion against David to take over the kingdom. Brothers and sisters, obedience is so important, so we must think carefully about areas in our lives where we are disobedient to what God has commanded us. Things we are not to do, not to love. Yet we are so stubborn or reluctant to cut them loose, leading to calamity catching up to us years down the road. In our last message, we talked about submitting to and obeying the different authority that God has placed in our lives as we play different roles in life. Today, we are going to focus on the things in our lives that we ought to submit and obey to. First, we must obey the word of God. God blesses us with His words, and every word carries His blessings. Therefore, we need to obey and treasure His words seriously. Learning from Saul or David's disobedience, calamity eventually caught up to them. When Ezra brought the people back from Babylon, the first thing he taught the people was the word of God. He restored the highest regard for God's word and told the people that in order to not go back into captivity, they must truly obey and abide in it. Take a moment to examine whether we are regularly taken captive by the enemy. Are there areas where we didn't honor the word of God so that there is darkness, weakness, misery, and fear in our lives? Ezra restored the word of God to where it should have been in the hearts of God's people, and the people repented and brought revival to the land. We must remain alert so that we will not be taken captive again. In the Old Testament, God had given Eli a great promise that him and his descendants will continue to serve the Lord as priests. But Eli's sons were corrupt and did not know the Lord. Their actions caused men to treat the offering of the Lord with contempt. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, 23-25, Eli said to them, "Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all these people. No, my sons, it is no good report that I hear of the people of the Lord spreading abroad. If someone sins against a man, God will mediate for him. But if someone sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him?" But they would not listen to the voice of their father, for it is the will of the Lord to put them to death. Later in verse 29, God said to Eli, "Why then do you scorn my sacrifices and my offering that I commanded for my dwelling? And honor your sons above me by fattening yourselves on the choicest parts of every offering of my people Israel." Eli honored his two sons more than he honored the Lord. They did the forbidden and caused man to stumble, but they were only lightly rebuked by Eli, which eventually cost him their lives. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, "Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol." In Proverbs 29:17 says, "Discipline your sons and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart." And in Proverbs 13:24, it says, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent in disciplining him." The Bible has said so much about discipline, but so many Christian parents still choose to do otherwise. They are unwilling to discipline a child because they quote-unquote love them. They treat God's words as, maybe this one's outdated or less relevant. But just as Eli loved his son, he honored them above God, these parents who disregarded the word of God will reap what they sow. Our singles brothers and sisters, pay close attention to the word of God and honor them now, so that you may lead your children to honor and obey God's command when the time comes. In Deuteronomy chapter 6:6-9, God spoke through Moses, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down. And when you rise, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, so that they shall be a frontlet between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates." God said it, and Eli knows it, but didn't follow God's instruction, and it was not important in his house, which is resulting to his sons not knowing God and were corrupt. Brothers and sisters, do we have the word of God written on the walls of our house? Are we diligently teaching our children God's commands? What are we talking about when we sit, when we walk, when we lie down? Is it God's commands, his goodness and his wondrous work, or is it the things of the world? We must take God's word seriously and restore God's commandments as the highest priority in the house and bring them into our conversation. God said to Eli in 1 Samuel 2, that "for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed, and that I will raise up for myself a faithful priest, who shall do according to what is in my heart and my mind, and I will build him a secure house, and he shall go in and out before my anointed forever." Eli despised and didn't honor the word of God in his house, and eventually we know him and his sons all died on the same day. Let's read from Jeremiah 42, verse 1, 3, and 6. "Then all the commanders of the forces, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least to the greatest, came near and said to Jeremiah the prophet, 'Let our plea for mercy come before you, and pray to the Lord your God for us, for all this remnant, because we are left with but a few, as your eyes see us, that the Lord your God may show us the way we should go, and the things that we should do. And in verse 6, whether it is good or bad, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we are sending you, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. 10 days passed, and the word of God came to Jeremiah, and he replied to the people to stay where they are, and God will protect them from the king of Babylon. If the people were to not believe the word of God and go to Egypt, everything they fear would follow them to Egypt, and there they will die. The people looked at their surroundings and choose to believe what their eyes can see, a belief that if they stay put, they would be taken captive or killed. Whereas if they were to leave, go to Egypt, there would not be any war and they can live peacefully there. To avoid their fear becoming a reality, Johanan disregarded Jeremiah's prophecy and decided to lead the people into Egypt. These people inquire of the Lord and declare that they will obey, yet they despise God when his words differ from their liking or what their eyes can see as reality. As sons and daughters of God, we often find ourselves praying, God, if I understand your will, I will surely obey immediately. But too often in reality, we want God's way to be our way, to go according to what our desires are. If it is against what we wanted or that it causes too much suffering, sacrifices, forget it. There are so many Christians who are in this cycle, thus they can never figure out God's will. All they wanted was God to fulfill their desires and wants. They would seek out prophets after prophets to find the words they would like to hear and amen. How often are we being the Lord and King instead of submitting and obeying to God himself? Brothers and sisters, if we are not determined to submit and obey God, this path to eternity is not the path we will be going down, and we are giving way for the enemy to come to steal, kill, and to destroy. This topic of obedience is very important, and I hope that through these messages, God's words would be of utmost priority. And when we are willing to pay whatever the price to follow his commandments, our path forward will be clear, bright, and glorious. Missionary Pearl Young's mother taught her to obey the word of God since she was a child. She once said, "I am not afraid of anything except being disobedient to the word of God." While she was in China, there was a time where she wanted to understand God's perspective on sickness. She read a couple books on this topic, and some says to take medicine to get better, while some says no medication to have faith in God and receive miraculous healing. She was perplexed, and she called out to God and said, "God, if you reveal your words through the Bible, I will obey." As she kept an open perspective, God spoke to her through the Bible that it is not God's will for men to be sick. Jesus died on the cross to forgive all our inequities and heal our diseases, and that God himself is the greatest doctor. This Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and will never change. Missionary Pearl prayed, and God answered her through the Bible. She simply believed and obeyed, and her faith was grounded in the Word of God. It was shortly after this new revelation that her faith in God was tested when she returned to Canada for some time off between 1936 and 1937. In the years before that trip home, Missionary Pearl would often catch a bad cold and would need to take medication in order to restore her health. One Saturday, she caught another bad instance of cold, but this time she wanted to obey God as it was spoken to her. Suddenly, fear came upon her because she remembered that she had promised a couple to join them for an evening service the next day. Her fear was not in her sickness, but in that she would not have faith to be healed. It was a cold winter, and the couple who were driving her had a car without a heater, plus a broken window, which would guide the cold wind directly to her. As sick as she was, plus the given conditions, it's only expected that fever would follow and her sickness will worsen. However, as Missionary Pearl seek God for direction, she believed if God didn't give her word to not attend, she will keep to her plan and join the evening service. She kept to her heart and declared before the enemy the three promises that God had given her through the Bible. In Psalm 103:3, He forgives all our inequities and heal our diseases. In Matthew 8:17, He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. In James chapter 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. As time passed and it's almost time to leave, she didn't feel the presence of God or His promises being fulfilled. And worse, she feels dry and alone in the spirit. But because God didn't give her words to not attend, she went to the evening service. When she got home that evening, she felt great, and all her symptoms disappeared. What would have taken several days to recover in the past, but this time, by God's healing power, her health was restored without any medication. She said that it was a day of warfare and victory, and God had taught her a valuable lesson that would benefit her for the rest of her life. She also learned that God values whether we are willing to believe and stand firm on His words, and that unless God intervenes and guides her otherwise, she will not allow sickness or disease to alter what was originally planned. Brothers and sisters, sometimes as we understand God's will and are determined to obey, a storm will come, making it hard for us to keep our word. However, it is God's will that as we go through these storms, that we will learn valuable lessons from them. Just as missionary Pearl had gone through testing shortly after setting her mind on God's healing power, as we set our mind to follow the word of God, our faith will be tested to see if we're truly obeying the word of God, or will we falter in the midst of the storm. If we are able to learn the lesson, it will be more valuable than a Bible study because we have lived through it and are living proof of it. There are many believers that attend Bible studies or conferences regularly. But what is more important is living out what you've learned rather than just learning or hearing it. When we live out what we learn, our knowledge of Him increases and our capacity grows as we mature in the Spirit. Missionary Pearl stopped reasoning how or why for over 40 years because she had a simple faith in God and truly believed what she read in the Bible. Brothers and sisters, we must let the Word of God take its rightful place and not come up with reasons and excuses when it doesn't make logical sense. I am very thankful that ever since I was filled by the Holy Spirit, I am no longer satisfied with more enlightenment or revelation when I study the Bible, but instead I want to pay close attention to the commandments that I have yet to follow and be determined to start now. Brothers and sisters, if we want to live life with Jesus as our Lord, there are many precious commands in the Bible that we must obey. There will be seasons where we are obedient and others where we will forget. But the point is that we need to stay alert and not become a disobedient one to the Word of God. When we hear people's testimonies, let us self-examine to see if there are areas where we need to repent to. In this journey to eternal life, we need to have fellow believers to run this race together. And that's why in Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let's read from 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. A sister once shared a testimony that her son seemed disappointed after taking an important exam in school, which caused her to worry about her son's future. This is horrible. It's going to affect the college application process. We had a conversation and I shared with her what the Bible says. To cast all your anxieties upon Him and give thanks in all circumstances, and that she needs to obey and give all her fears and worries to God. She decided to submit and obey the Word of God and praised Him. God, I praise and thank you for my son's poor score on the exam. I believe that you have a wonderful plan. She was able to fully let go and not think about it for the following 2 weeks. When they received the results for the exam, it wasn't as bad as they thought, and she shared a testimony with her son how she obeyed the word of God and cast all her anxieties upon Him, and gave thanks and praise for his wonderful plan. Not only was her worries and fear gone by following the word of God, her faith in God in times of trouble set an example for her son. Brothers and sisters, are we still circling the wilderness, or are we living in the promised land of Canaan, honoring the word of God and following it step by step? Are we casting all our fears upon him and giving thanks and praise in all circumstances? The Bible says, do not be anxious about tomorrow, which means that God will be responsible for you. A sister once gave a testimony about her stress at work. From the minute that she wakes up, she's already thinking how to do a certain thing and how to solve a certain problem, etc. One day she read a book by Brother Lawrence, Practice of the Presence of God. And in the book, it said that God is at work even in our sleep. That phrase stood out to her, and she was determined to put it into practice and declare, God, I am going to sleep in your sweet presence and will continue to be in your presence even when I wake up. As she declared it, she cast her anxieties upon him and stopped worrying about tomorrow. God is faithful, and when she woke up the next morning, she could still feel the sweet presence of God. She was in awe of God's goodness and power, because even though her work continues to be stressful, but being in the presence of God daily has helped her through many difficult circumstances. The enemy wants us to be heavy burdened, but the word of God delivers us from them. The question is, are we willing to submit and obey God and his words, or choose to sit in darkness of the shadow of death, as prisoners in affliction and in iron chains? Brothers and sisters, why are we feeling down? Is it because we are disobeying God's will and despising the word of God? In 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Are we not casting our worries on him because we don't understand his love and that he cares for us? And therefore, we lug around our burdens trying to find our own solutions. The Bible says to cast all your anxieties, large or small, and to be sober-minded, be watchful, because the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. The devil will easily devour someone who is anxious and worried because they have no defense mechanism. I want to share a testimony regarding Anna and her mom. Many years ago, as Anna was waiting for a liver transplant, she was unable to eat anything and can only survive on an IV. Her mother was living in another state at the time. There was nothing that she can do, but just the thought that Anna is suffering, she wanted to suffer with her. If Anna can't eat, I will also not eat. A couple days later, God shed light on Anna's mother that she didn't entrust Anna to him. She repented to God and said, God, I trust you with my daughter. I am entrusting you with my heavy burden because Anna belongs to you and not me. As she entrusted Anna to God, her burden lifted and God showed her the things in the spirit. She saw the devil attacking Anna and knew that she must resist the devil and he will flee. Even though she's in another state, she started declaring God's authority for the devil to leave and to set Anna free. Within a matter of days, Anna woke up and found her liver functioning properly again. Brothers and sisters, if we're not fully casting our anxieties upon him, we won't be able to experience his help. I want to reiterate, we can't expect God to help us when we are carrying the burden and not letting him intervene. So many Christians pray and pray, but at the end of the day, away they go and they carry the burden away with them. Psalm 37:5 says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. Commit your ways to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. We must take God's word seriously and obey them wholeheartedly. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says to fasten on the belt of truth, and this truth is the word of God. I realize that if I am not carefully following the word of God, the spell is loosened and my lifestyle and my words becomes casual and of the world. To fasten on the belt of truth is to constrain ourselves with God's word and submit to Him. We often hear, give thanks in all circumstances, but many believers think this has nothing to do with their lives. We hear, do not be anxious and cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. But it is 1 year in and the other year out, and we continue with our anxieties. The enemy devours us because we are allowing it to happen. Brothers and sisters, we must read the word of God and pay attention to obeying His commands. Stop being satisfied with enlightenment and revelation of God's word, because these become head knowledge without actionable behavior. His commands need to reach our heart, and we need to proclaim God's sovereignty and His promises with our mouth. When we're reading the Word of God, we must submit and obey all His commands and receive His promises. His promises are like signed checks payable to us, but we must take it, use it, and cash it. He wants to fulfill His promises to us, and it saddens His heart when we are living poorly and not according to His will. And there are going to be times where we must submit and obey, even if our body tells us otherwise. When Missionary Pearl was feeling weak and unwell, she still treasured the Word of God because she knew that His words are reality. God will allow discomfort and sickness upon us because He wants us to not live on our feeling, but learn to live on His words alone. Just like a soldier armed and ready for war, he fastens on his belt, and this belt will become his strength and his shield. We must learn to boast in God, obey His words, and allow His words to be the belt that we fasten on so that it may be our strength. When we read the Word of God, don't just use them to share and to teach. More importantly, let them be our constant reminder that even when we're feeling down or anxious, we will declare, I will submit and obey, and I will praise and give thanks in all circumstances. I repeat, I will submit and obey, and I will praise and give thanks in all circumstances. Brothers and sisters, let's live abundantly in the promised land of Canaan by obeying the Word of God. We have shared different sermon series in the past, such as Praise and To Wait Upon the Lord, and these are all based on the passages in the Bible. God commanded us to praise Him and take delight in Him. Brothers and sisters, if you are one who have yet to open your mouth to praise Him, we must break through. Because the Bible says, from you comes my praise in the great congregation, and praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, His praises in the assembly of the godly. In closing, let us ask God to engrave His command in our hearts so that we won't forget and be constantly taken captive by the enemy. I believe that when we as a body of Christ are determined to submit and obey the word of God, revival is coming. Missionary Pearl has set a great example for us. Throughout her life, she was obedient to the word of God as it was spoken to her. Many believers who have heard me spoke about Missionary Pearl were shocked that there are people as obedient as her to live life according to God's commands. This is my prayer that God will help us to hear His words and obey accordingly so that we may be blessed in our coming and going. We will realize that God is leading us down a bright path and not in affliction or in iron chains, nor sitting in darkness of the shadow of death. Proverbs 4:18 says that He will lead us in the path of the righteous, like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The righteous believes in Him and is righteous through their faith and obedience. May God help us to obey Him daily and not be too excited because we had a wonderful experience or encounter. These one-time experiences will surely fade, but one who is diligent and obeying the Word of God will continue to mature in Christ. Let us pray. Dear God, thank You for being our faithful Father, and we know that You were, you are and will always be. We thank you for all the circumstances in our lives and know that you have a perfect plan for us. God, we need your help to shape our hearts to humility and obedience. Show us areas in our lives that we have not been obedient to your words so that we may repent and turn towards you. We pray that as we continue to read the Bible, you will highlight any of your commands that we have not been keeping and transform us from within so that we may be an obedient one and can cash in on all the promises that you have given us. We thank you, we love you, and we pray all these in Jesus' name. Amen.